In thinking about advice to give congregations, we're considering the transition to policy-style governance. Probably the most overarching idea that I'd emphasize is that it is an ongoing process and a learning experience. Our church has been working on this process for over 4 years now. And while we've made great progress, we still are quite clear with each other and become quite aware every month that we are still in a learning process.
So I think that you can't put enough energy into making sure that the candidates who come onto your board are well, and the newly elected members are well grounded in what it means to work under policy governance.
We also use this in our leadership development committee when we are grooming people for positions here. One of the sections of that training is around policy governance. So that even if they never become involved in an elected role, they are aware and mindful and can be a voice in a congregational meeting because they understand the model and maybe even are appreciative of it.
So an angst develops. There's this sense that who I am and what I am is being changed, and I'm just this little dis-ease. So what we have tried to do is talk not only about what the role of the board is, but also talk about what the role of the community is, what the role of the committees are, what the role of the leadership opportunities, sort of one of those who's on first kinds of conversations, and to point out that the real benefit to our community and to communities who take this governance style seriously is a wider inclusion of members at all levels of commitment to the community. What you are doing is changing the culture of a community. So the culture in our communities has often not been very tolerant of top-down kinds of structure. And so the initial response is often that this governance style is a top-down type of structure. And it will take a while for the culture of the community to recognize that that's not it at all, that what we are doing is something very different, that what we're doing is expanding how we are with one another and how we are in the world and how the community is maturing. So, and it takes a while. And it takes patience.
I would counsel patience and honor the time that it takes to do it, as well as have somebody in the system who is riding the herd. You don't want to take forever, so you need somebody keep pushing that, but you need enough of other people who are listening really to the people. Because the whole thing belongs to the people. It doesn't belong to the minister and to the board. It belongs to the people. And then when you feel like you've got enough momentum and support in the majority of the congregation, then to move toward it.
The biggest issue is that the transition to policy governance takes a congregation from a governing body that, in our case, was over 80 elected members to 7 elected members. And in that process, you have probably well into the hundreds of people that are on committees, and we didn't focus on what those people were going to do before we, as I will say, threw policy governance over the wall and said, let's do it. So the advice is to make sure that you have a very good inventory of all of your committees, and know who the people are that enjoy and want to volunteer, and make sure that they have a place, and a very defined place, the day you transition to policy governance.
Another suggestion would be that it's valuable in our experience to build from your existing governance and to respect the history and the transition that members will experience in moving from a former method of governance and a former experience of governing power and relationships within the community into a policy governance formed structure. That transition, the ties that can be made to original statements of corporate purpose or other elements of vision or mission within the church can help bridge the transition and help guide people across the transition and see that they're not losing so much as they're simply gaining a new way of thinking about and an invigorated way of being present with a very long-held and important purpose within the community. Our experience was, I think, a lot like many other churches. We saved our writing our ends policies till the end, which we discovered as we spent the time we needed to really feel comfortable about creating meaningful and valuable ends policies, that it was really the first thing that we should have done. It's the hardest part of the policies to come up with, but it is the most powerful set of policies in this whole model, and in that it guides and helps measure the effectiveness of all of the remaining policies, the mechanics of the relationships and responsibilities between the board and the executive and the staff and congregation. It's an essential piece to have, to keep referring to, and to ground the conversation. Our board's experience was that we really gained traction on this entire effort after we had done the months of work that it took us to create solid and meaningful ends policies. And our conversation with our congregation about policy governance and why we were doing it and what the positive outcomes would be of all of this work really started to take hold after we had expressed that.
Well, I think one piece of advice is this, is first of all to draw on the wisdom of congregations who've been in the system for a while, and they have a fully developed policy manual. It's important for congregations to go all the way into policy-based governance. You know, talking with some people about policy-based governance, just the ends come up, that becomes a real big part of the conversation, and it's important. But I want them to tell me about their executive limitations. That's where we've got an essential, a key kind of clarity that we need to make things happen. I know one of the pleasures of my working here at UCA is the fact that we've got the entire policy manual in front of us. It feels full and complete. It feels like the real deal.
The transition itself is also a great teaching experience about the community, our community, and about ourselves and our vision and purpose, and that experience itself, in some ways, we imagine might be more powerful than actually being at the whatever formal end of the process might look like. In our experience, the opportunity is entirely in the conversation that gets created around the movement to policy governance and the focus that it puts on vision and purpose and engagement and listening. And so that would be a very valuable piece to pay attention to as frequently as you can.
Another piece of advice, as with everything, a sense of perspective and a sense of humor, and never forgetting what the larger purpose is, because it's a change. Change involves sacrifice. There are bumps along the road, and if we can remember the fact that we're moving into a different way of doing the congregation, doing church. If we can remember that the reason for that is because we are wanting to live out our mission in the world more effectively. We are wanting greater clarity about how we want the world to be different because we exist. We are wanting to have greater clarity about what it means to be accountable to the best interests of the congregation. We're wanting to be clear about how our board leaders can be spiritual leaders in the congregation. You know, this is why we're making this change. This is why we're going through all the growing pains. If we can remember that, if that perspective can always be at the forefront, it helps the transition to happen.